أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يحل لكم أن ترثوا النساء كرها. This is the first part of ayah number 19 of Surah An-Nisa. And this is the 19th يا أيها الذين آمنوا of the Quran Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O believers, it is not permissible for you to inherit women forcibly. Here the ayat is speaking about the actual inheriting of a woman, like how a person will inherit a commodity. In the period of Jahiliyyah, men acted as if they were owners of life of a woman and also the property of a woman. How this would happen is when a man would pass away and he is survived by his widow, and the other inheritors may be his son from another wife. So the result will be that that son will behave as though he has now inherited his stepmother. What would happen in the Jahiliyyah? Some of them would marry this woman and some of them will get her married to someone else, and whatever the mahar would have been, they will take it as a purchase and sale agreement. So that is how lowly they had thought about women. That is how they treated women. And our lives go and be sacrificed for the Quran Sharif, for Allah Ta'ala, our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that all this needed to be changed and they needed to be given honor and izzat. And that is exactly what Islam did. That was exactly what the Quran did. That was exactly what our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. And in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying now that this oppressive rule has to come to an end. That it is not permissible for you to inherit the woman herself as though she is a commodity, she is a property, she is a goods or merchandise. That is not permissible. The second part of the ayat, Allah ta'ala says, وَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ لِتَذْهَبُوا بِبَعْضِ مَا آتَيْتُمُوهُنَّ. And you will not keep your wife in your nikah, restrain her, restrict her in the nikah with the intent of taking back some of what you had given her. Now this was another thing that they would do, that a man, because of his own weakness, he would find some fault with his wife, which was absolutely no fault on her part. So what he will do is he will restrain her, he will keep her in the marriage, he will not let her go, he will not release her in talaq. And of course life will become very, very difficult for her. And now when it becomes beyond her to remain in the marriage, then he will tell her that she should pay him in lieu of a divorce. So again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped that. And Allah ta'ala said that is not permissible. Yes, Allah Ta'ala makes one exception to this. إِلَّا أَيَّأْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنًا. According to Sahaba, the translation will be, except that she carries out an open, indecent act. According to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, she becomes disloyal to the husband. She herself does not want to remain in the marriage. It is not his fault, it is her fault. Then of course, she will be able to give back the mahar. And in this way, the husband will release her, and that is the law of khula that is up to today in the Shariat of Islam also. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala says, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Now see how Allah Ta'ala changed what was oppressive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now brings it into the form of justice. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. The simple translation to this will be, and live with them, in other words, with the women kindly. In every aspect, one is to fulfill the rights of the marriage, whether it is the financial rights, there is also the emotional rights, to make sure that we treat them in a proper manner, and there is no emotional abuse in the marriage, that no man will emotionally abuse the woman. And this is وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. We find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, the best amongst you is he who is best to his wife in behavior, in treatment, and I am the best towards my wives. In other words, again, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought an entire topsy-turvy situation, an oppressive situation. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought it to one of love and one of justice. And then Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِن كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. If you dislike them, it is possible all of us have the weaknesses, then it is perhaps you dislike something where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed an abundance of good. This is insani fitra, this is usual insan, normal insan. I would want everyone to look at my good points. However, one will find it strange that when I look at others, I would like to pick on their weaknesses. And this is the most detrimental marriage issue, that the husband will only look at the faults of the woman will only look at the faults of the husband. Nobody is looking at the good points of the others anymore, whether it is in a marriage, whether it is out of a marriage. And this is what Allah Ta'ala is bringing, this is that message Allah Ta'ala is bringing, that there may be certain things that you do not like in her, but Allah Ta'ala didn't create any individual, any human with every quality that is bad. Every one of us have good points and all of us will have weaknesses. It is for us to look at the good of others, and of course we look at the ills of ourselves. And in that way, we will be able to survive and coexist. And hence Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no believer should dislike his wife. If he dislikes a certain quality in her, he should be pleased with another. And in this way, Allah Ta'ala, in a very short span of time, in a very short ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had changed the entire situation of men oppressing women to men having honor for women, and Allah ta'ala had given them their due place insofar as society is concerned. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq.